Okay. So is anybody else going to join us on the call then, or is it
No, I
going to
thought
just
it'd be
be you?
time for just the two of us to talk.
Okay, good. Let's
Yeah.
catch up then and tell me maybe some of the things on your mind relative to the business and Supernova and how you perceive things to be going. But we start with your agenda first, so anything that you want to talk about, we'll talk about.
Today I was hoping to accomplish a couple of things. I want maybe get a little bit of feedback from you about the things you've been discussing with my staff.
Okay.
One of the things that reckoning slash changes I've gone through over the past several months is trying to find more contentment in who I am and what I've built, rather than spending every waking moment trying to be the, go from number 17 to number 15 and number 15 to number 12 and keep climbing the
Right.
ladder on the list of producers.
Right.
As we know, that's a never-ending chase, right?
Oh yeah, it's like, hey, number one in the office, number one in the district, number one in the region, number one in the universe. I mean, that just puts undue pressure.
Right. So, and trying to, find that contentment. That's
Okay.
it's been it's a journey because haven't gone through as traumatic an event as you have, but my son relapsed a couple times recently, so
Wow.
that's a constant stress. I've got soon to have three in college, as they, I think what you're seeing an outpouring in Kobe's passing yesterday,
Oh.
everyone will say that, make sure you take time for your family and make sure you, and I made the comment to one of my sons last night. They said that's somewhat ironic because typically to achieve the level that people like Kobe achieve, the sacrifice is
Right.
our family. You
That's
know,
right.
when they're on the road or they're on the gym, in the gym, I say, for example, in this area, Bill Belichick is borderline worshipped. I said, but
Right.
he didn't achieve that by going to his son's high school football games. He didn't go to
Right.
anything. He's
Yeah.
divorced. He basically abandoned his family to achieve his dream. So,
Yeah.
be careful what you wish for. Is that the lesson here?
I,
You know, so.
something, I think so, and I think that it puts things in. I'm glad we're having this conversation because I really think I can share a lot of the things that I came to a realization with as well. We're gonna dive into this, but and you're so on point to want to talk about it. So, Dan, one of the things that I will share with you, and this may have applicability in your personal situation. People come up to me and they say, it's amazing that you could go through open heart surgery, come back, you're now working out 5 days a week, you're getting in like the best shape of your life. My BP is down 115 over 60. I dropped my A1C a full percentage point since last August. And I'm trying to pay attention to the things that matter in my life. Now, how did I, I'm a little bit I'm disciplined and I'm a little bit regimented when it comes to the boxes in my life. I organize them and I try to get closure on each of the open items in my life. And one of the things I did, Dan, is I decided that I needed to really define what my true purpose in life was. And look, I worked my tail end off when I was at Merrill Lynch, okay?
Right.
And, you know, I had a little bit of baggage that I carried because, look, I was the first African-American financial advisor in San Francisco back in 1978. I then became the first to get through the assessment center and be nominated for management. There were 20 people that went through, 10 made it, I was one of 10. And yada, 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 you know, I became in the top 20 managers in the firm once I was number one in the entire organization. And then became a regional director with 3,000 employees, the chief of staff, working for the chairman and the president. And it was maybe the most pressure cooker environment that I could ever be in, connected to a pager, having my weekends encumbered. My son, little son, came up to me one day, said, "Daddy, I don't think I like your new job. We never see you." And boom, it hit me like a ton of bricks that what my priorities in life were. So we fast forward, and life is this continuum, and we don't always get an opportunity to achieve that balance, but we have to make it a priority in what we do. So back to my purpose. You know, I define my purpose to inspire, to help people find motivation so that they can seek goodness in their lives. That's what I had been working toward. So I have a regimen when I get up in the morning. I read a daily devotional, spiritual. So I decided I have to take care of my spiritual, physical, and mental and emotional health. So I start off reading this devotional, and I write in a journal every day. I try to read it and then interpret what I read by writing in a journal. And I also kind of write about things that might be impacting me. I don't put a to-do list in this journal, by the way, but I do the journal. So then, after I do that, I do some meditation. I slow my breathing down, and I meditate, and I let kind of the messages come to me. Our intuition tells us a lot. Our gut feel tells us a lot. But our days get so hectic that we don't listen to the messages that are coming to us. So I needed to slow myself down so that I could just listen to what was coming to me. The other thing that I did is, after the meditation, I do some stretching. I knock out about 60 push-ups, and then I do 100 push-ups on my knees. I do my stomach exercises, core, planks, and two other exercises. And then I have a little breakfast, and then I get to work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I am enjoying my life. I do have, like everybody, you know, I've had a son that has been a little wayward, the youngest one. And I've been working on him. I've been praying about him and, you know, talking with him, spending time with him. And getting other family members and getting him to be in touch with other family and his brother and trying to establish that closeness. But you're going to have some insurmountable challenges and obstacles that are going to be thrown at you. And it's like, where do you get your release? Who do you call on for support? Now, I don't know how spiritual you are, but I would say that that's a good place to kind of start. Start with yourself. Because if you aren't strong and connected, then the people around you can't be strong and connected either. And that means your team, that means your business, etc. So, let me just stop there and then begin to think about, you know, what causes happiness to occur in your life. And it's not going to necessarily be work, but what we need to do is find out how we can make the work part of your life, you know, give you a sense of achievement and feeling good about yourself, so on and so forth. And you've got to create these boxes. So you got the work box, you got the family box. You have the sun box. So you've got these boxes. And then what you do with each of the boxes is you write down a couple of bullets, maybe 2 to 4, of what you want to do in each of those boxes so that you don't overwhelm yourself. Because I think half the stress is thinking about this stuff all the time. You know, just thinking, oh, I got this. Right.
Oh my God. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We think about this stuff. You know, oh, I got to generate X amount of income in order to make this work. And you carry such a burden that it is so overwhelming and it spills into so many other aspects of your life. And here's the other thing. You can't solve all the problems of the world. Okay? You can't solve everybody's problem. So that's the one thing that you have to really begin to let go of. You know, we all want to, you know, we all want to get the kids educated. We want to get them in college. We want them to do well and that sort of thing. But look, you know, I don't necessarily recommend this for everybody, but golly, I worked 32 hours a week. I went to college. I got out in 4 years. I graduated on time, on schedule, with no debt. I went to get an MBA. Later, I went to Wharton. And then I went to the Investment Banking Institute. So, yeah, I got all that education. But you have to get yourself organized, move from one box to the other without carrying all the boxes in the brain. So it's like, is it time for the sun box? Then create time for the sun box. Is it time for the family box? Then you create time for that box. You have to become more regimented and more organized so that you're not thinking about all the loose items in your life at the same time, because it'll overwhelm you. It will overwhelm you. So I pushed back.
Many times.
What's that now?
It's done that many times.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're all guilty of it. And I'm going to tell you, as we get older, what happens is that there's some internal things that are caused by stress that creates inflammation in our bodies, you know, impacts our heart health and our mental and physical health. And so, you know, if you're not around, then nobody is being helped. Okay? So priority number one, and this isn't being selfish, priority number one is you have to take care of yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
The adults in your life are going to have to step up and take care of themselves. You know, you can't be the guy that is coming to everybody's rescue. And letting go is hard, but it forces people to kind of step up their game. Okay? And so you decide what you're going to let go, and you tell a family member, you tell a work associate, I want you to handle this. You have high capabilities. I want you to do the best job you can. I'm going to trust that you're going to do the best job. And then check in with me periodically on how you're doing. But you are going to have to let go. You can't micromanage, and we're all guilty of this. We want to put our hand in managing 10 or 15 things. Can't do it. Let go. You probably have, you need to get it down to maybe 3 priorities in your life. 3. And just focus on those 3 at a time. When you feel like you've got some closure, move on. And take time out for Dan. You know, figure out what Dan enjoys the most. I bet you, when you went to Aruba, how many family members went with you?
8.
8 family members. When was the last time, Dan, you took off someplace and did something for you? You know, I had a, you know, have you like
7.
gone fishing or whatever? What have you done for you?
All I have is when I go to the Y every morning. That's all I have.
Okay. That doesn't count. Okay? That counts in some way where you're getting a little bit of your physical done. But, you know, it's like, you know, go someplace and learn fly fishing. Go someplace and, you know, take a 4-day golf lesson. And, you know, have a coach that's coaching you on your golf, if golf is your thing. But you've got to get into something that gets you away so that you can breathe. And I will tell you this, periodically, I've gone to a mountain and gone skiing by myself, okay? I went fly fishing, you know, by myself. And then, of course, there were numerous family vacations, Caribbean, Dominican Republic, Bermuda, things like that. But you have to go and put yourself in kind of a meditative state and step away from it. So, like the Y is good. But then again, you get back into the throes of things, so you need to do a few 3- and 4-day things and just get away from it. I tell you one thing I did, and this will blow you away. I started taking Spanish classes, and I'm going to say it's been 5 years, so I started taking Spanish. I went for an hour and a half each day, twice a week, and I went through 9 levels of Berlitz, okay? Then I took off for immersion for 2 weeks in Buenos Aires.
Okay.
By myself in a class, loved it, toured the town, loved it so much I went back for a month. I spent an entire month in Buenos Aires. And was going to Spanish classes from 9 to 12, had my afternoons free. I had people pick me up, take me out to a golf course, buy my lunch and a little package, explored the wine country and drank some of the finest wines over there. But that's one of the things I did. Okay? So, it's temporary, but it's like in our business, you go do something, you get a breather, and it lasts for maybe 30 days, second month it starts to deteriorate a little bit. By the third month, you're back where you are. So you need to be doing something once per quarter, okay? Four times a year where you get your little, you know, sustenance.
Right.
You know, where you breathe fresh air and you do what you enjoy that allows your mind to escape. The work, the problems, the headaches, they'll be there. They'll be there waiting for you when you get back. But you need to start taking more time. What's that?
Did you ever see the movie, with Kevin Costner, the baseball movie?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And when they invite the reporter to come into the cornfield with him,
yeah.
And Costner is standing there looking at Ray Liotta, and he says, what is it? And he goes, well, what's in it for me?
Yeah, there you go.
It's a question I've been asking the last few months.
Right.
As
you know something, I admire you because you're one of these guys who cares so deeply about everybody else. I have a sense of it. I picked that up because you always talk about, you know, your love for your family, which is good, your love for your staff. But what about some love for Dan?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
you know, I tell you, you know, you've got to push that button. And, you know, it's nice to take the whole family and be around the family and take them on a vacation, but I think that, and they'll come back and they'll look at those times and remember, you know, how well they were treated by, you know, their dad and what he did, and hopefully one day you'll be able to do it for them. Like I remember taking my mom and dad, I brought them to Washington, D.C. I brought them every place that I moved. I brought them, you know, in for a visit, picked them up at the airport, and tour, you know, had them take tours. That was enjoyable. But you got to do something for you. And I will tell you, I didn't do enough of that. And so, you know,
well,
I was push.
I turned 60 last May, and, you know, all of a sudden, yeah, I just said this to my son last night, the one who's had his problems, and I said, look, Trev, we're getting to the point where this is more on you and less on me.
Right.
I said, look, I know, you know, my I've got 25 years.
Right.
You know, things go well, I've got 25, 30 years.
Sure.
You should have 65 to 70 years.
Right.
And if you're lying to me about last weekend, so be
yeah.
it. But it doesn't affect
yeah.
me at all. If you're lying to me
right.
about your usage, then you're lying to yourself.
Right.
And the only one who's going, so that's a transition for me, like putting it back on him. Like I can't own his addictions
yeah.
and he can't, and I, those addictions can't own me any longer.
Hey, look, I sent my son, I put him in 3 therapeutic boarding schools, 2 wilderness programs. I spent $250,000, okay? And finally, you know, I put him out. And it hurt me so bad to do that. And and one day I went out and got him. I said, are you ready to stop living this way and get your life together and deal with what's bothering you? If you are, you can come back. But if you don't, I'm putting you out. So, the tough love is so hard. It's emotionally gut-wrenching. And because we care so much.
Right.
We care more than they think we do, more than they care about themselves. And
one of the, and I'm sure because you were, you know, so many years in this industry, one of the things that I came across, thoughts that came to me in the last 90 days was that I really need to work on being more present.
Yeah.
Because everything I have done since I was 25 has been based around goal setting.
Sure.
And setting goals for next year and 5 years and 5 years later. And I don't want to walk away from goal setting.
Right.
However, those goals have to change. Growing the assets from 150 to 300 and then going creating my own RIA, that can happen, but it's going to have to happen after I continue to get my health better and be more present.
Sure. What's your, I mean, are you writing your personal goals?
I am not. However, I just received last week the Full Focus Planner.
Okay.
Which is part of it's all about that. It's just about, it's a daily journal that tracks your goals, and they ship these books out to you every 90 days.
Okay.
So.
So I do that, but I don't have a program for that. I have my own journal, and I do that, and I wrote down my goals. My personal goals in terms of what I want to accomplish for myself. And, you know, and some of them in the past and have been, you know, I said, look, at 32, I'm going to take up skiing and I want to become an advanced skier. So all of a sudden I'm skiing Tahoe, Utah, Steamboat Springs, Vail, Beaver Creek, and I'm doing that. And then once I did everything I could, then I said, well, I got to go on to my next new thing. In the past, you know, I was a black belt in martial arts. I decided that I wanted to win the Las Vegas Grand National Karate Championships. That was in 77. And I did. So I set those kinds of personal goals for personal accomplishment. The Spanish language. I said I wanted to get to a single-digit handicap in golf. So I set that as a goal. Goals for personal development. So what I would encourage you to do is do what I call a brainstorming session on what Dan wants to do for himself. Now, if Dan says, I want to be more content, that's not something that you can measure, okay? I mean, at the end of the day, you can ask yourself a fundamental question, am I happy or am I not, okay? But what you have to do, Dan, is you have to take what contentment means to you. Does contentment mean freedom? Does it mean your relationship with others? What does contentment mean? You have to define that. But you have to set some goals for yourself. And I think they should be, you know, if there's an equation that says fun equals contentment, then you need to identify what fun means to you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And what I want you to think about trying to do is become more, a little bit more selfish about you. Okay? So I want, I want you to just start with some goals that are just about Dan.
Right. Okay.
And write those down. Look, I was a caregiver for 3 years. I was, you know, when my wife was battling cancer, I took her to the ER 6 times. I was taking her to her chemo visits, and I would go work out while she was on a 3-hour, you know, session, either getting chemo or getting hydrated, and, you know, going from doctor to doctor, the multiple surgeries she had to go through. So, you know, one of the things that I needed to start to do is start to live a little bit for me. I mean, it got to a point because it was colon cancer. I couldn't even go out to dinner. And if I did, I was going by myself. That was not fun. So think about the things that you want to do that helps move you toward this philosophy of contentment. And write them down. I will share with you, you know, that I went into my journal and write down in your journal, just, you know, short sentences about what you experienced for the day. I would encourage you to read a devotional, because I think that that also helps. And then do whatever form of prayer meditation where you just shut your eyes. I lay on a mat and I close my eyes. And it's very, very difficult at first because things will start entering your brain. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to go to the grocery store. I need to make sure I'm preparing dinner for time. You've got to shut it off to the best you can, and it'll take some time, but you need to close your eyes and meditate and work on your breathing and begin to write down your goals. So in summary, I would say think about what contentment means. Translate that into goals for you, okay? We're not talking about business goals. We're talking about Dan goals. And begin to get your special time each day for meditation.
Okay.
And write in a journal. That would be my other. Just get you a little leather, you know, journal. Mine's maybe 10 inches by 8 inches. And I put the date up at the top, and I just write in it. And I get stuff off my brain onto my journal.
Yeah, I've been looking at that, and I definitely need to do that.
That is really simple. I keep the pen in my journal, open it up, it's got a divider, and I do it before my day gets started. I go into a quiet room. Nobody comes in, nobody enters, because they know that that's quiet time when I'm thinking. So I sit down and I write in my journal, and then I lay flat on my back and I meditate. And what is done, one of my goals, if it's physical, then I started thinking about my diet. Do you know, I no longer put salt on my food. I mean, there's so much salt out there anyway. I just don't do it. I don't put sugar or Splenda in any drink. I don't drink soft drinks anymore. Okay? I'm drinking green tea. So, you know, so whatever does it for you to be thinking about a healthy and fit lifestyle, that's what you want to do. But that becomes a goal. That's something you write down if that's something that you're about.
Yeah, and that's what I started with. While we're sitting here, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and I lost 50 pounds and drove my numbers way down, and have since put 15 pounds back on, because as you said, you know, the daily stress has just come back.
Right.
Where
right.
When I lost the weight, my priority was nothing but my own health.
Yeah. And you were feeling good. So, you know, look, we know what puts on the pounds. You know, it's the carbs.
Yep.
It's the sugar. You know, the unnatural carbs. I just went cold turkey. I decided no more bread, no more unnatural carbs. Okay. I went from 247 down to 209. I do an hour of cardio every day, 15 minutes of strength training. You don't have to get crazy like me, but that's what I do. But I had a reason to do it. You know, I had a triple bypass, and that was my wake-up call. God gave me a second chance. So, you know, I can't ignore that and just do nothing. So I put myself on a very disciplined regimen, and it's a priority in my life. And so when you put your goals down, you think about them, you decide what your priorities are. And I think that your overall priority is, I want to lead a happy and content life. So you start with that. I want to lead a happy and content life. Now you have to define what that means. That means my mental, physical, and spiritual health is important to me.
Right.
And once you start doing that, then what you will end up doing is you'll begin to speak, espouse, and you'll get other people doing it. You'll kind of be, you know, kind of a quiet messenger that, you know, this is the message, folks. This is how we want to live our lives. And you'll question them and say, hey, what are you doing with that donut? You know, what are you doing putting that sugar, you know, that refined sugar in your body? What are you doing drinking Diet Coke every day? Okay? And poisoning your body. It's going to lead to diabetes. So just be regimented, and, you know, whenever you feel like you're going to fall off track, or if you fell off track, give me a call, and we'll sit there and we'll inspire and motivate each other that we're doing the right thing and that it makes sense. You're a little early. You're 60. You know, I had a triple when I was a triple bypass at 68. But, you know, I went to one of my fraternity dinners the other night, and people saying, my goodness, Curtis, what are you doing? How are you doing? We had a big thing on men's health, and I told them my routine. And they said, oh, okay. You know, I try to eat a cup of fruits and vegetables every day. You know, pistachio nuts, you know, when I need a snack. You know, just start getting really, really healthy, and you'll feel good about you. You'll feel like you can tackle the world.
Well, that's what I felt like, you know, about 2 years ago when I was taking on, you know, really taking this on.
Yeah,
and that,
sure.
You know, like anything, you slip back into just the day-to-day.
Yeah. So what you can do is you can say, hey, it's day one again. I'm going to go back to my basics. I got my journal. I got my goals and the things that you and I talked about. And, you know, go do it. And have a little, you've got some regimentation in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this business. So you've got that in you. It's just got to now be more of a focus on you.
Right.
So I'm not saying that the other people around you don't matter. Don't get me wrong. They do matter. But I'm saying you matter too. So the next time we talk, why don't you share with me the progress that you've made in the last month toward focusing on Dan?
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
All right. Love to hear about it. Just one quick.
One of the things that I've been wondering about with Supernova is I know what I tried to do is have my staff meet with you consistently.
Yes.
So maybe I need to listen to some of the calls because I haven't seen a significant change.
Okay. In the staff?
You know, and I think that still comes back to, or it all comes back to, because I am the everyone's solution.
Right. It
feels like a lack of personal responsibility.
Exactly.
Right? Everyone's still kind of...
I just went through this with an FA team 2 weeks ago, and where the head of the team was very dominant, very articulate. So what was happening is they were afraid to make a decision. They didn't make a decision for fear of retribution. That was number one. And number two, they weren't making a decision because they felt that they had to run everything past their leader. And they needed to understand that they were leaders in their own right of their area of responsibility, that they had to own it. Okay?
Right.
So they have to have the confidence, and, you know, they can't have the fear of reprimand if they make a mistake. But they got to know on no uncertain terms that we're counting on you. This is what we're asking you to do. Own it, come up with your ideas, and when we meet once a month or once a week and we report on how we've done, you're going to deliver your brief report on your area of responsibility. And what I want to hear is, this is what I'm doing, these are what we've accomplished, these are our challenges, and these are our shortcomings.
Okay, good. That's what I need to do. Because, I think I've done that, but there's an attempt to make me happy rather than just doing your job.
Exactly. You know what? I will tell you this. They care about you. They're concerned about you. They want you to be happy. They want to please you. And sometimes the way that translates is, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make Dan unhappy. But they've got to know that they have permission to take their particular area and own it. So you need to reinforce that over and over again. Make sense?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Dan, you know, if there's a one-off and you need to call me and you want to talk to me, you got my cell number, right?
I do.
Feel free.
Okay.
Feel free. Okay? I don't want you bottling this stuff up for, you know, 2 months and then, you know, then we talk. But feel free to be expressive, okay?
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Dan. You take care. Bye-bye.
All right.